This podcast is brought to you by IFR Magazine.
Hi, this is Jeff Van West reporting for AvWeb and IFR Magazine, and I'm talking with Rob Shapiro, who did a dead stick landing of his 172 into a 2,000-foot strip on an IMC day. He's here to tell us the story of how that came about and how it came to a successful conclusion. So, Rob, you went hunting for some practice in actual instrument conditions that day. Why don't you tell us what happened on the climb out after the last successful approach?
Earlier that day, I was working on my commercial add-on for fixed wing. I'm a helicopter CFII, and we had just happened to be practicing powered-off 180 landings at the airfield that I do my airplane training at. So later in the day, I was looking outside. I had already left the airfield, and the weather was just looking perfect for some actual IMC practice. The temperature was warm enough that I didn't have to worry about icing, but there were low clouds, and visibility was good. So I thought I could definitely get some instrument approaches in. I was on the missed approach coming out of Gaithersburg, which was my fourth airport after I my first airport after I'd refueled. And I was on climb out and getting vectors for the initial approach fix for runway 5 into Frederick. Right as I had just gotten my vector, I noticed a horrible shake in the engine. I immediately declared an emergency with the Potomac approach.
Now, we have those ATC recordings. Let's take a listen.
Potomac approach, Skyhawk 1160 Victor, heading 290.
Skyhawk 1160 Victor, approach Baltimore, altimeter 2982. How will this approach terminate?
60 Victor, I'd like to go to the hold at Gizzy, and then I'll advise.
6 here, Victor, roger. Your missed approach frequency is going to be on this one, 125.52. Turn left heading 270. Another controller is going to work you in for the approach.
Roger, 6 here, Victor.
You copy heading 270.
6 here, Victor, emergency.
6 here, Victor, go ahead.
And they came back and asked me what my emergency was. I explained to them what the problem was, and they asked what I wanted. I told them I wanted vectors to final into Frederick. They gave me a heading to maintain. Now, I was staring at a G1000 glass cockpit display, and truthfully, I probably would have just been better off looking at the airport on the glass cockpit and aiming for it, because I couldn't hold a heading to save my life that day. The shaking began to get worse, and I began to lose power. I was at full throttle and full mixture, and I was still descending at about 1 to 200 feet per minute. The weather at Frederick was light IFR, and Potomac approach informed me of this. They suggested that maybe I go towards Gaithersburg. Gaithersburg was about 10 miles south with a 4,000-foot runway, and from my position, I was actually straight in for the runway, whereas the runway 5 at Frederick would have been a 90-degree turn to the right.
Number 6 here, Victor, turn left heading 230.
Left 230, 60 Victor. 60 Victor, I think I'm about to lose my engine.
60 Victor, roger. What do you want to do? Victor, the Frederick Airport is about 3 miles northwest of your position. Maintain 2,500 if able.
Attempting 2,500, 60 Victor.
Number 60 Victor, MBA in your area is 2,500.
60 Victor, how many vectors to final? Am I turning right to field?
Number 60 Victor, turn right heading 270.
Right 270, 60 Victor.
Number 60 Victor, is BFR Gaithersburg if you want to try it? It's 10 miles southeast of your position if you want to continue southbound.
I'll go southbound, 60 Victor.
60 Victor, you want to try Gaithersburg?
Affirmative, 60 Victor.
60 Victor, roger. Heading 170, please.
170, 60 Victor.
Now, at the time this happens, just to interrupt for a second here, at the time you're making this decision, you're about 3.5 miles from Frederick, although not lined up with the runway, is that right? And about 10 miles from Gaithersburg?
That's correct. I was about three and a half to maybe 5 from Frederick, southeast of the field. And at the time, I think I was at about 3,800 feet and descending.
Okay, but in order to get to runway 5 from Frederick, you would have had to be vectored another few miles, maybe 4 or 5 miles to the west, and then have to turn inbound for the approach. So almost even distances. Got it.
Going south towards Gaithersburg and descending through about 2,900 feet. When the shaking started to get worse, and I started to descend a bit more rapidly, at this point, maybe about 300 feet per minute. I think Potomac Approach saw this and knew that Davis Airfield was a bit closer than Gaithersburg and suggested that maybe I go there.
Number 6 here, Victor, low altitude, check altitude immediately. MVA in your area is 2,500.
I'm unable to maintain 6 here, Victor.
Number 6 here, Victor, Davis Field is 140 heading in 7.43 miles from your current position.
I got it, yes. I'll go to Davis. What are my winds?
Baltimore winds are 200 at 6.
How long is the runway at Davis?
2,000 feet asphalt.
I'm going to Gaithersburg.
Number 6 here, Victor, roger.
It was only a 2,000-foot runway, no approaches going in, and while I was a straight in for Gaithersburg, this would have been a 90-degree turn to the left for Davis to try to make the runway. So I elected to keep going to Gaithersburg even after they suggested it. Now, in the recordings, several times I asked Potomac what the surface elevation is below me. And I think they didn't understand my question properly because they kept giving me the weather being reported at airport at the area below me. And so it kept throwing me off because they kept saying below you is 900 feet. And to me, I thought that meant the surface was 900 feet. What I was trying to do was calculate in my head, since I knew the ceiling was in the realm of about 1,000 at Gaithersburg, I wanted to know what I could expect to pop out of the clouds at.
Number 6 here, Victor, Gaithersburg's 161 and 8.43 miles from you.
Got it on the GPS. I'm sorry, what is the ceiling at Gaithersburg?
It's reporting overcast 1,000.
Okay. I'm sorry, what's my surface elevation?
Below you, the altitude is showing 903.
And so when they led me to believe that the surface was 900, and I was at 1,500 and not seeing the surface, I was a little concerned that I was going to smack right into the surface without ever seeing it. So as I get a little closer to passing by Davis on my way to Gaithersburg, my oil pressure light alarm and annunciator all start sounding. And it occurs to me that I probably had no more oil on board. So right then, Potomac makes another suggestion, a strong suggestion that I go to Davis.
Number 6 here, Victor. Davis Field is about 3 miles southeast of your position. You sure don't want to try that?
Yeah, I'll go to Davis. I'm getting an oil pressure light now.
November 6 here, Victor, roger. And you can, it's a 124 heading 4.68 miles from your present position. The field elevation 630.
Turning left, 124, 6 here, Victor.
So they gave me a new heading, and I started heading towards Davis. I was looking at it on my map, my moving map, and it was getting closer and closer, but I was still in the clouds. At one point, they say radar contact lost. I was about 1,100 feet MSL at that time.
Number 6-3, Victor, radar contact lost 2 miles northeast of Davis Field.
Roger, 6 here, Victor. Can you alert fire department to have them on the ground, please?
We will. 6 here, Victor, Davis Field is about 2 miles southeast of your position. Now, you have it in sync?
That's negative. I got a low vis, but I'm out of the clouds.
6 here, Victor, roger.
And approach 6 here, Victor, I'll call you on the ground.
Thank you.
So I pop out of the cloud about a mile northwest of Davis, but I don't see it out my window. It's still very low visibility. I finally see the runway right about when I'm right over it. And so I break off for a left downwind for the opposing runway. At this point, I really thought my engine was gone, that it was going to quit any second. Not that it really mattered, because I was still descending anyway. After having read so many articles about pilots trying to take that turn to base, the turn to final, and slowing down so much that they stall out, that was my biggest concern at this point. So I did whatever I could to keep my speed up. As a result, when I was on final, I was still about 90 knots. So dumped all my flaps, tried to slow down as much as I could, but whenever I'd try to slow down, I would keep floating. Here I am trying to hit a 2,000-foot runway. Finally touched down at about 1,000 feet down the runway. Ended up skating right off the end of the runway into a giant grass field, which then turned into some pretty thick thicket at the far end of the runway. So I get out, and the first thing I do is call Potomac Approach on the phone and tell them I made it down alive.
So, hi, 1160, Victor. I made it on the ground alive.
Is that November 116? Oh, you just made it? Was that the one you just hit the emergency landing?
Yes, sir.
All right, November 116, Victor. What airport you land at?
Davis.
Davis?
Yes, sir.
All right, November 116, Victor. IFR cancellation is received. Thank you.
Thanks.
My job.
If anyone was curious, he made it on the ground. He just called us.
I called the mechanic and told him what happened. And when he finally arrived at the airport, he removed the cowling to find that at least two of the push-pull rods had bent completely in half. And you could see where the oil had just spewed out of the engine until there was literally none left.
An amazing story, and we're all really glad that it worked out so well with no damage to you and only minor damage to the airplane. Looking back on it now, what things that you did during the event do you think were the right things to do, the things that you are really glad you did?
I'm glad that I declared the emergency right away. Reading story after story about pilots who just are afraid to declare the emergency. I don't know that saying the word emergency actually did anything. I do feel like Potomac did give me priority on the radio, and that they were willing to help any way they could. But just getting that out there and really kind of admitting to myself that there was a problem.
Well, you talk about, whether you really should have made the choice to go to Davis, a 2,000-foot strip with no instrument approach, continue down to Gaithersburg that you may or may not have made it to for a straight-in instrument approach, or done Frederick where you could have done an approach or you could have attempted to circle down over the airport. Looking back on it now, which do you think would be the best decision?
At this point, I'd say circling down over Frederick. It's interesting because I read your article, the next issue that came out of IFR Magazine after the engine failure, and read your article about circling down. And to be honest, the thought didn't even occur to me until I had read that. I questioned whether or not I could have descended to the point where I would have broken out of the clouds even without an approach for runway 30 into Frederick, which I would have been straight in for. Or if I should have continued the approach. Now, part of it was that I just couldn't hold the heading that that Potomac was giving me to shoot the approach into Frederick. And maybe if I had been a bit better on holding my heading, then I would have been able to make that approach.
And then you were flying a G1000-172. You mentioned a couple times, looking over at the MFD and using that to get an idea of where the different airports were. Is there any way you feel now, looking back on it, that you could have better leveraged the avionics that you had at your disposal, besides maybe turning on the terrain screen, as you mentioned? Or do you think you really did, you used them to their fullest potential, or certainly as much as you needed?
I think I was relying too much on ATC for heading, and I would have been better off just pointing myself at the pink dot for the airport using the MFD.
I am really curious about how ATC's suggestions about things may have affected your decision-making process. if they hadn't suggested Gaithersburg, would you on your own have decided to head down that way, or would you have stuck it out for Frederick?
Probably not. I probably would have stuck it out for Frederick. Yeah, I knew the area around the airport, both airports. Gaithersburg is in a very populated area, and I knew if I came up short of the runway, I was landing in someone's house. Whereas Frederick, it's highways and fields around it. So that would have been a better option. That and knowing the terrain around it, the 4 miles visibility and mist doesn't really scare me. And I could have popped out of the 1,100 feet and still, there could have been, I would have been VFR enough to land at that point. So in hindsight, I think going to Frederick would have been the best option.
What was it about the suggestion to Gaithersburg then that made that seem like a better bet to you?
And I think it was a matter of semantics, is that they said, well, Gaithersburg's VFR and Frederick's IFR. I mean, it was a difference of 100 feet ceilings. So whether it's VFR or IFR, not really going to matter over a matter of 100 feet. But I think it's because they said that kind of influenced me to go south towards Gaithersburg.
Well, Rob, no matter how you might have done it differently, no one can say that it didn't turn out well and that you didn't do a terrific job in bringing an airplane into an airport with low IMC conditions all around you. So congratulations and high kudos for making it all work out so well. And thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
This is Jeff Van West for IFR Magazine and AvWeb. Thanks for listening.